When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
So as we come to God's word together this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we ask now that you would help us to turn our hearts, our minds, our wills towards you. Help us to be hungry for the things that you are hungry for. Lord, we want our heart to be your heart for your glory's sake. Amen. So, as it is the fourth Sunday, I have attempted a handout. If you've been on the last couple of fourth Sundays, you will have seen this sort of thing before. It's entirely optional. You don't have to have one, but some people like to doodle or have something to colour in or to engage in that kind of way. Whatever your age, you are welcome to one. So I'll pass them round. Take one if it's helpful. Don't take one if it's not. I'm not entirely sure I've managed to separate the pile into very equal thirds, but hopefully if you'd like a handout, one will reach you. Now's the point where I remember I should have kept one for myself. Might just grab one off of... Oh, sorry, forgot to keep one back for myself. Here we go. There we go. So if you need colouring pencils, they're at the front. Come and help yourself. And I'll try to, as we go through the Bible passage, I'll try to explain what the pictures on this handout mean and how they might help you to think more about Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6. So there's a radio programme I'm sure many of you will be familiar with called Desert Island Discs. Who's heard of Desert Island Discs? Yeah. And guests on the programme are called castaways, and they're invited to choose 8 tracks, a book, and a luxury. And the book, it's a kind of third book to add to the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible or some other philosophical text, and then they get a third book and a luxury. So what I'd like to invite you to do this morning is to imagine you're on a desert island. And you can have one luxury. What would it be? Just give you a little moment to think about that. You're on a desert island. It's a luxury, so it's not something that will help you get off the island, like you're okay. It's a luxury. And I'm wondering if anyone would be willing to share what their luxury might be. An endless supply of good coffee. I can get on board with that. A radio.
A chicken that lays eggs.
A refrigerator. Remember, it's a luxury, so you've kind of got the things you need to survive. Your cat. Yeah, as long as I can have my dog, I'll let you have your cat. A shower, yeah, again, it's a luxury, but a shower could be a luxury, yep. A dance theatre, wonderful. For you to dance in, only you, okay? Anyone, there's a hand at the top. A bar of chocolate, that is also something I can get on board with. Your people after my own heart, because the things I had on my list were coffee and chocolate. I didn't have a chicken that lays eggs, but maybe I should consider adding that. My guess is the things that have come to our minds are the things that we'd find it hard to go without. I have to say, when I was preparing this, something else that came to my mind was my duvet. I would definitely want my duvet on my... That's not the point, Sue. But my guess is the things that have come to our minds are the things that we'd find it hard to go without. No one said the internet, mobile phone, television. Maybe you'd all like to be off-grid. Sometimes I think that would be great. Coffee, chocolate. They're often the things that take up our time or occupy our thoughts. The things we need or think we need. The things that make us sad or that we make a fuss about when they're not working. I definitely get a bit grumpy if the internet's not working. Or out of stock, if I go to the shop thinking, oh, I'm going to have a big bar of, and the space on the shelf is empty. Or we just can't have. Those are the things that I think we think that we think we need, that we find it hard to go without. So that's the first picture. That's why you've got a desert island, if you're following along on the sheet. So you can colour it in, or you might like to write down some things that you would find it hard to go without. Why have I asked you what you would have on a desert island? Well, we're in the second week of a short series thinking about spiritual disciplines. That's the kind of fancy phrase for it. The things that the Bible tells us help sustain our faith, help us keep going with following Jesus. And this week, we're thinking about fasting. So last week, Richard helped us to think about prayer. This week, we're thinking about fasting. And we'll probably add other things to this series at various points in the year. When we've got a little gap, we're going to dip into this sermon series. So I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear the word fasting. Anyone willing to offer an answer? Oh, I've heard it from somewhere. Someone said go without food. Yeah, go without food, giving up food, doing without food. Hungry. Anyone got anything else they'd like to add? Colleagues who've just done Ramadan. Yep. So, fasting is about going without something. And crucially, it's a voluntary going without something. It might be food, not eating for a set period of time or missing a particular meal. But it could be something else, social media, watching television or YouTube videos, shopping for clothes. You might have heard people talk about giving up something during Lent. Voluntarily giving something up for a season is a form of fasting. And our Bible reading this morning tells us that fasting is a good thing. It's an expected thing for Christians to do. Notice how verse 16 begins. When you fast. It's not if you fast, it's when you fast. Jesus' expectation was that his followers would fast. So fasting is a good thing. That's my first point. So we're probably, if you're following the handout, we're into the why box. We do it because it's a good thing, an expected thing for Jesus' followers. But it's really important that we remember it's about choosing to go without something, voluntarily going without something. It's not the same as not being able to afford enough food or not being allowed to watch television. It's a voluntarily choosing to go without something. But if you're anything like me, it's possible to do good things, expected things, and to do them whilst either moaning to everyone about doing them or boasting to everyone about doing them. Maybe you're far better than I am. But I definitely have it within me to go, look at me, I'm so sad, I've not had coffee for a week. Don't worry, I have had coffee. In fact, I currently have coffee. Or else to go, look at me, I'm so awesome, I've not had coffee for a week. I don't know what it would be for you, but hopefully you get what I'm trying to say. It's possible to voluntarily choose to do something that the Bible tells us is good, expected, giving up something, and to either moan about doing it and make a kind of show about, look how sacrificial I'm being, or to boast about doing it, look how self-disciplined I'm being. It's perfectly possible to voluntarily do things and be vocal about doing them. Choosing to do something doesn't automatically mean we get on with it quietly. At least it doesn't mean that for me. I don't know. You can let me know afterwards how it is for you. In verse 16 of our reading, Jesus is describing people who fast with a sad face. The word in the reading is people who disfigure their faces. That's how it's kind of expressed in the reading. But what that's getting at is people who put on a particular facial expression to let everyone know they're fasting. Look at me, I'm fasting. Yeah, you get the idea. That's all that's saying. Jesus calls these people hypocrites, because they're missing the point. They're missing the point of fasting, what it's really all about. The why behind choosing to go without something. And in our reading, it's food that Jesus is talking about. But as I said, fasting can be something else. If you're following along the handout, we're kind of onto the why box and we're getting to the heart of the matter. Fasting is for God. That's my second point. So first point, fasting is good. Second point, fasting is for God. The point of fasting is to help us to love God more, to help us to spend more time with God, to make more space in our hearts, that's why we've got a heart here, and more time in our lives for God. When we go without something, we can know more fully the shepherd in whom we lack nothing, to quote Psalm 23. Fasting is about our spiritual well-being. In verse 17, Jesus tells his followers and the crowds that were probably listening in, that they're to put oil on their heads and wash their faces. Now, to us, that might sound a little bit odd, but really all Jesus is saying is go about your normal everyday lives without drawing attention to yourself, to the fact you're fasting. Get on with putting oil on your head and washing your face. Just do as you normally do. Don't make a big thing about the fact you're fasting. Fasting is for God, and God sees what is done in secret. When we do this, when we go about our ordinary everyday lives and don't make a big thing of our fasting, we won't receive the praise of others because they don't know we're doing it. But we will receive the praise of God for all eternity. That's what it means when Jesus says you will get your reward. We won't receive praise now because no one knows what we're doing, but we will receive the praise of God for all eternity. There's a quote, and I can't kind of attribute it to anyone because it's, I think lots of people claim to have said it. So it's not mine, but I can't tell you who said it first. But it goes like this. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Maybe you've heard that before. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Because it's not just our bodies that get hungry. Our hearts get hungry too. Let me tell you what I mean. Our hearts can get hungry, for example, for always being the best at something. And we can trample on others. Our hearts can get hungry for being the most popular, for being liked by everybody. And we can disregard our values so that that's the case. You get the idea. Our hearts get hungry. It's not just our body, our hearts get hungry. Fasting is about our hearts, about being aware of our needs and remembering that God is the only one who can meet all our needs. So when we fast, it's not really about the thing we're giving up, but the fact that we are hungry, and it's about helping us to be hungry for the right thing, for God. I have a problem. I'm sure I have several, actually, but I'm just going to share one with you now. And it is this. It is that my face sometimes reacts before my brain. I don't know if any of you have that sort of situation. My face sometimes reacts before my brain. My face sometimes reveals my heart or gut reaction, that I'm surprised by something, or that I found something amusing, or that I'm not happy about something. My face reveals my heart reaction. It follows then that if I attend to my heart, so my heart's gut reactions reflect God's heart in any given situation. If I attend to my heart, then my face should take care of itself. When I'm fasting to please God, when I'm giving something up in order to spend more time with God, to grow closer to Him, my face will reflect this. I won't be walking around with a sad face, look at me, I'm fasting, to draw attention to my sacrifice, because my heart's turned towards God. And I won't be walking around with a proud face either, because when I'm fasting to please God, I know His praise, praise for all eternity. I don't need it from anyone else. As well as choosing to go without something, fast has another meaning. What else can the word fast mean? Don't overthink it. Go quickly. Fast can mean to move quickly or at high speed. If you imagine you are running a race, perhaps a marathon, and it's a bit tough, what's the prize that keeps you going? What are you running towards? What do you have your heart set on? It's an interesting question to think about. The finishing line. I guess the sorts of things in my mind are sometimes we might do it for the sense of achievement, or for the praise of others, or for the trophy if we think we're going to come first. What, when we're running the race of life, are we running towards? What do we have our hearts set on? And hopefully you've figured out we're now kind of onto this final box if you're following along. So why do we fast? Fasting's about God. How do we fast? We fast with a posture that's orientated towards God. We fast towards God. Fasting is for God. It's about becoming aware of our needs, the things our hearts crave, and allowing God to minister to them. Some things our hearts crave are good. Some are not so good. Some are good in their right place, but when they become the most important thing in our lives, that's not so good. Our hearts crave all sorts of things. When we fast, we're allowing God to minister to them, that we might join with the psalmist, this is Psalm 27, with the words, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple." So I would encourage us all this Lent, but not just this Lent, to be thinking about how we might, from time to time, use fasting to reset our hearts, to reset our spiritual lives, so that God remains the greatest love and we remain dependent on him. Amen.